Welcome to the Down the Rabbit Hole podcast. It is May 21st, 2020. My name is Brian, and with me, as always, is my good friend Joe. Joe, how you doing?
I'm well, and yourself?
Doing good. Looking forward to talking to you today. We've got some good stuff for you, for us to discuss, I think.
Always. A pleasure.
Yes. But first, as always, we got to start off with what are we drinking tonight? And I'm going to start off because I'm going to be boring again, and I'm just drinking coffee. But I know you got some super exotic, fancy drink. So what are you drinking?
Are you planning on not sleeping tonight? You're drinking coffee at 6:30?
It's quite possible, Joe. my sleep schedule is so jacked up at this point that it really doesn't matter.
All right, cool. Well, I am drinking. What is this? It's a sweet tea, and I've added a lime juice concentrate.
Okay.
And so, yeah, last time I was drinking a wine, I think.
No, last time you had the Arnold Palmer.
Oh yeah,
spiked Arnold Palmer.
Spiked Palmer, but without me, I was drinking on an empty stomach, and that's really bad for me always. And so yeah, this time I haven't eaten yet, so I better stay safe with and have a non adult beverage.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. All right, so as we've done previously, I think we want to start off just doing a follow-up on the Ahmaud Arbery case in Georgia. And I haven't really heard anything, haven't heard too much about it. Mm-hmm. The character assassination continues.
I think it's actually accelerated. We can thank our good friends from Fox on this one. Video surfaces of Ahmaud Arbery being arrested on suspicion of shoplifting in 2017.
Well, he obviously then deserved to be gunned down. I've seen a lot. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't understand is why is there such a concerted effort to vilify the victim here? That's the part that I don't get. And it's one of those things where we've seen it so many times, you think eventually people will be like, yeah, like, you know, why are we doing this? Or what, you know, what purpose does it serve? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And to speak as far as that goes, I had actually come across a couple articles myself that there was one article that said that someone reported seeing him in Dallas, Texas, back in 1963, on the grassy knoll.
Yeah.
that was one report. I can't remember where I seen that at, but that was one report. And then the other, they said that I seen another one that said that they spotted him in 1972 at the Watergate office building.
next thing you know, they'll be fine. He'll be at the Roswell. Where the aliens landed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, hey, so, apparently he gets around.
Yeah, and he's obviously he's up to no good.
Yeah. All the time and traveling.
And so
shoplifting.
Yeah. All that stuff. He deserves. He obviously deserves. What he got, I guess. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they're doing all this to just distract us and make us. Subliminally make us think that he deserved it.
Yeah, but here's the question. Okay, so they're digging up all the dirt on the guy who's dead, who can't defend himself. But have you heard anything about the two killers?
I'm still waiting.
And you're right. I think, and that's the sad part is, it's priming the mind to be okay with this guy's, murder. And
I don't want to judge a book by its cover, but I know that those two guys have got some. That there's gotta be some shit in their background, man.
It's one of those things where you don't want to scratch the surface too. It's not too far from the surface. In other words, just by looking at the guys, you can tell there's something there, and you wouldn't have to stoop around too hard to find it. But for whatever reason, they're not even trying. And so,
yeah, I've not seen a thing. So.
So one other thing I've heard, one other development. Apparently, the guy who shot the video, he's been arrested as well.
Well, good. He kind of, we've never talked about him until now. It's odd that he got some sort of a pass. But yeah, someone shot that video.
Yeah. Now, from what I heard about the video was it was basically some guy who was driving down the street and just so happened to record that. But let's see here. Been arrested on charges including felony murder in Georgia. And let's see here. And that's it. This is a developing story. Check back for updates. That's it. There is no more. So if you had to guess, if they were to look into the McMichael Senior and McMichael Junior, what might you guess might be hiding in the closet, so to speak?
So what kind of skeletons do they have in their closet? I would not be surprised if there are, domestic abuse. I wonder how many. you know what? I mean, if they want to. All this is based off of some sort of stereotyping.
Fair enough.
And so I think, I would go. I would not be surprised to find out that there is family abuse of some sort going on in that family. And I'll leave it at that for now.
Okay, so testing the Mrs. jaw, see if she can take a hook.
Well, sometimes she messes up dinner and she's got to learn somehow.
Awful. a joke I heard when I was a kid. How do you fix a broken dishwasher?
Oh, I can see this coming. Huh?
Terrible. You slap her. Awful. I remember hearing that joke when I was in like fifth grade. So
that was back before comedy died.
Yeah,
back when you could tell a joke and everybody knew that it was just a joke.
Yeah, now you're a bad person.
Now everything's like a comment on society or whatever. All right. Well, like I said last time, we'll continue to follow up on this, but. Do you know anything else you want to touch on before we move on?
So, as you said, the character assassination continues and has proceeded at an accelerated rate, and the guy who actually shot the video has been arrested, and right now we don't know anything more than that.
Something that's trending now is that you're seeing a lot is Obamagate.
Yes,
and I got a feeling that this is not going to go away.
Well, while we were having a little bit of technical difficulty, I did a little research, and it seemed like it's just basically the rehashing of several other controversies or scandals, renamed and repackaged into Obamagate. And so, from what I understand. Is basically the whole accusation that the Obama administration took steps that were illegal to track and possibly prevent and harm the Trump administration before he won office. So everything from the wiretaps on the Trump administration to unmasking Flynn and several other many controversies, it's all one large, cluster.
So it's kind of a an umbrella or a catch-all for a bunch of other scandals.
Yes. So, I mean, I figure we could break this down in several ways because, So, I mean, so I guess there's probably several questions we should, you know, have out on the table before we proceed into any conversation into Obamagate. First of those is, do you think Trump was aided by the Russians? Sorry. Do you think Trump was knowingly aided by the Russians? But actually, those probably can be two separate questions, actually. One, was he helped by the Russians? Two, was he knowingly helped by the Russians?
No and no.
No and no? I think he was. I think he was probably helped by the Russians. I don't think that he was knowingly. I don't think there was any collusion. In other words, so
how was he helped?
Throughout the campaign, there were just things that were just, you know. So literally the day before, the day of the Democratic convention, I think the WikiLeaks stuff broke. So there are all these well-timed, unfortunate occurrences for Hillary Clinton, and it just seemed quite straightforward that these were all done to hurt her. Now, I guess you could say that they could have been done to hurt her and not help him. That's possible as well. From our point of view, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference if it's being done to hurt her as opposed to help him. But I do believe there was Russian activity involved during the 2016 election.
Are we talking about the email server?
Yeah, that too. All that stuff. Exactly. When they found all those emails with the Podesta.
So do you think so? And see, this is going to be interesting. This is going to be interesting because this is going to be the two people, you and I, watching the same thing but seeing different things.
Yeah, and that's why I'm like, okay, you know, that's why we should agree on a basic set of facts.
So right now is your theory that Russia hacked the servers and stole the emails and turned them over to WikiLeaks? Is that what your thought is right now?
I don't necessarily know who hacked what. I do believe the Russians facilitated handing it over to WikiLeaks.
Now, this isn't based off of the joke that Trump told where he was joking about the press asking Russia to find the emails.
I think that was clearly farcical. Why would you be on stage and say, hey, guys? Yeah. Hack my opponent, and wink, wink, nudge, nudge. No, I don't. I think that was clearly a joke. I think oftentimes he does and says things, and people just take it out of context, like the whole bleach, ingesting bleach. I don't think he was saying, "Yeah, people, Americans, go out and get drink bleach." I think he was being, I think he was asked a dumb question and gave a dumb response, basically.
Yeah. Okay, that's
but that was in the news for like 3 or 4 days. Oh my God, he's telling Americans to drink bleach, and I heard about something about it last week. I'm sorry, this yesterday.
Well, what's we're getting sidetracked a little bit, but I want to say what's worse is either the people reporting it knowingly misreporting it, or they are really truly that ignorant. I don't know.
I want to believe, and it's one of those things where I'm not necessarily sure which one's worse. Being so dumb that you took that at face value, that's really bad. Being so unfair, either way, it does not reflect well on those who try to carry it as some type of terrible scandal. Like, oh my God, he's trying to get people to drink bleach and kill folks. No, I don't believe that at all.
Yeah.
But in terms of the Obamagate, so that's one piece of it. So you think that there was that the Russians weren't involved, that they did not help him, and no, there was no collusion. I believe that the Russians were involved. They may or may not have been interested in actually helping him, but they did have an activity directed against Hillary Clinton. And she's such a non-likable person, you know, who would blame him? I mean, you don't have to love Trump to not want Hillary to win.
Well, that's true. I don't know. Well, there's no denying the emails, the email things. I don't know. Do you think that if that hadn't happened, she would have that it would have changed what is essentially a blowout electoral defeat?
Electoral. No. She was just like, she just played her hand poorly. I mean.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things that she should have done that she didn't. I think she took a lot of stuff for granted.
Yeah, my thing is like, you know, people are like, oh my God, I feel so sorry for her, blah blah blah. I'm like, I don't see why people don't. I mean, I don't see why when she talks, people still listen. I don't understand that because, it'd be like someone being being born a Rockefeller and then finding a way to be a destitute broke on the street corner. That person. You know, they had every opportunity, every advantage handed to them, but they still found a way to blow it. That's what Hillary did. There's no way that Donald Trump should be president had he been running against a halfway competent politician. She should be ashamed of herself, and her children should be ashamed of her, and everyone who carries it, who carries the Clinton banner should all be ashamed of themselves as well.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. I think a competent opponent would have beat Trump.
Yeah, it's one of those things where he didn't think he could win. Him winning that night was he was like, holy crap, I actually won.
I hate to do this, and this might be something that where I inject the audio of this into this afterwards, but there's a bit where Bill Burr. Bill Burr's your man.
What was the guy?
He was on like a stage. He was like on stage with some other comedians, and he done this thing where he talked about. And this was before the election. This was before, but he was talking about how the only reason that Trump ran was because Obama made fun of him at some breakfast thing.
Oh no! It was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Yeah,
it's like 2000. Okay. It was 2011, and I remember watching it. In fact, the night before was the night he ordered the raid that killed Osama bin Laden. So he literally made that gave the order to commence the strike, and then got in a car and went and made fun of Trump. Pretty big night for him in two ways, both historic. One of which he probably regrets. The other of which got him a second term.
I gotta tell you something. Dude, if Trump wins, this is him just winning the nominee blows away anything I've ever seen in sports. The U.S. beating the Russians. It just all pales in comparison. This is a reality TV show star who got mad at a breakfast because Obama trashed him. And he's like, I'll fucking do it. He's going to do it. That's fucking amazing. Like it or not, that is some... You can't talk shit in the room with that guy. Yo, one time this guy stepped me in the bar. Dude, fuck you. One time the president was giving me shit. And I said, oh, yeah, I'll have you a fucking job in 2 years. And I did it. And I fucking did it.
Yeah.
So the other piece of this whole... Obamagate thing is it once again touches on the Flynn stuff,
right?
So apparently Flynn was a very busy guy. I mean, like from the word jump, when I heard everything I know about Flynn leads me to believe that he's a slippery character that is not to be trusted.
Okay.
And so, basically, he had run afoul of the Obama administration, gotten fired from them as a former head of the DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency. From there, he basically joins, he starts his own business, like the Flynn Consulting Group, ends up becoming a paid consultant for RT America, the pretty much Russian propaganda.
Yeah, RT, the RT station. Russia Today.
Truth be told, like I listen to them quite regularly because even
a lot of times a lot of times you get good information from outside perspective.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like okay, if they talk about 10 things, one or two of those is clearly okay. This is rubbing America's nose in something or trying to make America look bad. But oftentimes, that is really insightful and on the point. And sometimes I think they let stuff slip that the Russian intelligence agencies have figured out, but they don't want to come out and actually say it. So, for example, I remember watching one day, and they were talking about how the Fitbit had been hacked, and they could actually see where every person in the world who had a Fitbit, where they were. And then they were like, "Yeah, but who are these Fitbits? Who's wearing these Fitbits in North Korea?" And so they zoom into North Korea, and there's like three or four, or four or five clustered in one area. And then like the very next week, you hear the U.S. military banning its soldiers from wearing Fitbits because of the hack.
That I remember that now.
What?
I remember the military being banned from wearing them. I didn't know this. I didn't know the what led up to that.
Oh yeah. And so it's like it's one of those things where it's on RT, so you probably shouldn't trust every word of it, but right. you also don't discount every word of it either.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm yammering on.
Okay, this is such a huge topic, I think, that it's hard not to. So we've got the Hillary and the emails mm-hmm. kind of thing we've touched on the Flynn thing. What about and maybe this is at the heart of it. Do you believe in the existence of what has been called the deep state?
Insofar as hey, there are these guys that are below the political arm of the government. Not political arm, but let me see here.
I think that's fair to say. Yeah, so basically, they're not elected. They're not elected.
They're not elected or appointed, and these guys are going to be there. President after presidents come and presidents go, but these guys work for the government. So, insofar as that's the case, how can you deny that there's a deep state?
Yeah, I think. Do you think that Trump being a really campaigning on being a nationalist, very, very anti-global, pro-America, do you think that kind of forced them out of the shadows somewhat these past 4 years? And do you think that a lot of the stuff we've seen these past 4 years with just the nonstop attacks on Trump has been a result of that?
Yes.
Do you think he set them back significantly?
I don't think he set them back significantly, but it's funny because you actually have politicians on camera saying things that you're like, wait a second. I remember shortly after Trump took office, Chuck Schumer was on like Meet the Press. And he was talking about how Trump should be careful because the intelligence guys have, two dozen ways to get back at you and twice on Sunday. And so when you hear stuff like that, that an intelligence agency routinely threatens and coerces elected officials, how could you conclude that there's no such thing as a deep state?
So much stuff happens. That was on its face is just a veiled threat, and I'd heard it before, but I've just completely forgot about it. But yeah,
Chuck Schumer reference.
Yeah.
I was surprised he got on television.
Kind of like I'd sure hate for something to happen to your business here. Yeah. If you didn't, you know, think bad things happen. I'd sure hate to see your business burn down if
if you don't make this payment.
Yeah. Make this little protection payment. Yeah.
I mean, from New York, there's a lot of mobsters there. I mean, Chuck probably plugged in quite well to a lot of stuff. I don't think you get to become the senior senator from the state of New York and not have your fingers in some filthy pies.
Yeah. All. Once you reach that upper echelon, man, they're all everyone has got some dirt. Nancy, Chuck, McConnell. You know who scares me the most? McConnell.
Really?
Just because he's like that. He looks like the nerdy, the nerd. I mean, Rush Limbaugh, I think, gave him the nickname the Turtle.
Well, he kind of looks like a turtle.
Well, he definitely does now that you put that in people's heads. You know, he's just got that. He just looks like the most non-threatening person. So you know.
Yeah, those are the guys you got to watch. You know.
Just imagine the shit he's done to get where he's at.
And where's he from again?
Well, he's Kentucky.
Yeah.
So
Kentucky.
I mean, Schumer kind of looks like he could be a made man, you know. He kind of just he's slick.
Yeah, like I said, he's got like it looks like he has like mop ties. He's got the slick back hair, got the granny glasses to look all non-threatening. But I was gonna say something, but
you don't want to like scuff his shoes in the bar or something. Like
No, wouldn't do that. End up disappeared or wake up with a horse's head in your bed. Something terrible.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of things to this Obamagate, and we'll probably be touching on it off and on as we go. But I think the one thing, even though it's called Obamagate, Obama is never going to be people who are hoping that Obama is going to like go to jail or something like that.
No,
just it's not going to happen. My friend, my buddy Mike, he wants Obama and Nancy and Schiff and just everyone just frog marched out and put in jail and whatnot. And I'm just like, dude, it's just not going to happen. I don't know where, I'm not sure where I've heard this from, but it's like, we don't want to live in a country where a president can attack and put his predecessor in jail.
Yeah.
For stuff, you know, when that becomes a norm, I mean, I don't know. It almost paralyzes what a president will do. Yeah, because
why would you not fight and claw to stay in office if you were convinced that the guy who comes after you is gonna throw you in jail? Yeah, I mean, but I always believe, you know, at that level, there's too big to fail, and there's also too big to jail, and so.
I like that.
Yeah, it rhymes. but yeah, if you're, you know, the Senate Majority Leader or the Speaker of the House, yeah, I mean, you know where all the bodies are buried because you were there helping to do the burying, and
yeah,
you guys, none of those guys are going to jail.
Nah. No, so the best if you want something like that, the best you can hope for is maybe their reputation will be tarnished or whatever, but no jail time. Now, as far as some people in the in the FBI and the intelligence community, we'll see some. We'll probably see some recognizable names fall on the sword. Maybe.
I doubt it.
No, I don't mean like a Comey or anything, but I think that Lisa Page and the Stroke or Struck or whatever his name is, those two seem like they might be the sacrificial lambs when
Lisa
it comes down to
Page,
it.
Page, Stark, Struck.
Yeah, those are the two that were sending text messages. They were, first of all, they were, you know, like having an affair, and they were the ones sending the text messages talking about getting insurance policies if Trump won and stuff like that. Like they're pretty well known players in Obamagate, but I don't think that they're so important that they're untouchable.
Yeah, Mike wouldn't be satisfied if those who got marched off to jail.
No, but
now he may be asking for the impossible thing, but yeah. You know, you can always ask, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I think, you know, chances favor. I think it's reasonable to assume that perhaps. In Obama's defense, it's reasonable to assume that if you were seeing the activity that they may have been seeing in 2016, like, okay, what's going on here? And an investigation would seem to be the most prudent and appropriate thing, you know, just to ascertain what's going on. If you got two or three guys on the Trump senior foreign policy team with very close ties to senior up Russian official/intelligence people, it's reasonable to investigate what's going on here. I don't know if anything beyond what would be reasonable and prudent occurred. If that makes sense. But once again, I believe that the Russians helped. Or, sorry, the Russians acted, and I don't believe that there was any collusion there. Well, that's how I can damp that line, so to speak.
Yeah, and I just, yeah, and I don't see that Russia did anything that they've never done, or that any other state would have done. I don't know. I just don't see it.
Here's the question: what would it take?
Any kind of proof, man. I've not seen any proof. The email, and here I don't want to dig into nitty gritty details, but I guess that's where they are. I guess is, as I understand it, when they finally, first of all, Hillary shouldn't have had a private server. That was just bad. Two, once it got hacked, and once they knew that it got hacked. As I understand it, they would not turn it over to the FBI. They insisted on giving it to their own IT.
Yeah, it's called CrowdStrike.
Yeah. And so, right there, I can't imagine that if the FBI came in to anyone's office and said, "We got to see, you were hacked. We need to see your servers," that you could just tell them no. But they did, and now all we have is this independent company's word that they think that they think that the hack came from Russia, and now I can go into 100 technical reasons why that's most likely bullshit, and one of the big ones, and it's. And again, this is hard to unless you're in IT, you might hear this and it might be easy to just blow off. But as it's been reported, the rate at which data was unloaded from that server was so fast that it had to have been copied to a local drive, like a thumb drive,
mm-hmm.
and not sent over a
wire.
Wire, an internet connection.
Mm-hmm.
So, unless there was a Russian agent in the room with the server, that right there just kind of disqualifies anyone from the outside hacking the server. If you believe that, and it's not everyone believes that apparently, but there's that, and then a lot of, finding malware. They said they found malware on the server that had made them think that it was Russia. Well, malware, you can get malware from anywhere, and most malware is downloaded and used. It's not written from scratch. There are places out there where you just download malware and mm-hmm. use it, and it's entirely possible that if there was in fact malware on that server, that the malware was written by someone from Russia, but that doesn't mean that it was a Russian hack. And then if Russian IP addresses are showing up in the log files, again, anyone who understands virtual private networks or
VPNs
knows that how easy it is to put. I mean, I could connect my VPN to a Russian server, and then all of my traffic looks like it came from Russia. I mean, there's just a lot of technical things that I've, and then plus, but the biggest thing is they won't just publish the findings and trust. They rely on the fact that it's technical, so people, non-technical people won't mean anything to them. But there's a lot of people out here who could look at it and it would mean something to us, and mm-hmm. but they've never done that. And so, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with as far as the Russia hacking the emails and whatnot. And you don't, and no matter where it, how the emails got out, you don't need Russia to, Russia doesn't have any special connection to Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. Anyone can submit anything to WikiLeaks. Mm-hmm. So I just don't see why Russia is in the mix when there's a lot of other.
Well, the thing is that I see that point, but Russia has been, and this is something I've studied in particular, Russia has been a very bad actor internationally, especially preceding the 2016 election. I worked on several things where, basically Russia was antagonizing and doing all the things that they did they were alleged to have done in the 2016 election, but they didn't they did it in Britain, Lithuania, Latvia, and what's the other one? Baltic state. Really skips my mind right now, but it's not one of those things where basically the Russians had been known to do that stuff before, and they just seemed to comport with what the Russians already had proven to be their handiwork in the past. So it wasn't as if all this stuff happened and they were like, oh my God, it has to be Russia. We've seen this stuff happen here, 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 and here, and they all were done by Russian actors or the Russian government. The Russian government through third party actors. So it wasn't like, some Russian military officer in a uniform hacking stuff. It's basically the Russian government state paying criminal organizations to do dirty work is how I understand it.
What does Russia do to influence an election? Is it just character assassination of candidates?
Oh, it's that and all the above. If you can get people fighting to the point where they don't even agree on a common set of facts, you have, and you get to the point where both sides throw up their hands in exasperation at one another, you've done a lot to dislodge. Let's see. You've not done a small thing. You've done a very big thing if you can get them to do what they were able to do.
But I see that as status quo in American politics. We don't need help.
Well, and the thing is that I heard a commentator say this. They didn't necessarily have to. It wasn't as if we made it hard on them, so to speak. And that they typically pursue areas that were already sore spots. So think income inequality, the difference between the races here in the States, all that type of stuff. Basically, open sores they would just show up and rub salt in. Probably the best way of looking at it.
I see. Okay.
But I mean, we shall see.
Well, we shall, and I got a feeling that that it's only going to get crazier the closer we get to November.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hell, at the very least, it'll give us something to talk about. This has been a great, I'm sorry, I'm about to go off into a totally different topic. But no. Let's do the right thing.
This podcast is a mess already. So,
all right.
Go ahead. Go. I mean, just fuck it. We can. Let's just
do the magic of editing.
Yeah, we'll. I'm going to do a lot of editing.
Oh, it's just.
If you had something else you want to go off, go on. Go ahead.
Basically, it's something we had talked about already about how. This has been a crazy year already, and we're not even halfway through it. I mean, it's not even June yet, and we've had enough news to fill a year already, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And so, and you're like, it's going to get crazier during the closer we get to election. I'm like, yeah, that's absolutely true in a way. And it's just like, holy crap, this is still 1 year.
Terrifying. Yeah. Terrifying. What else can happen?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so like a pandemic occurred, the economy crashed.
Well, here, let me jump down the rabbit hole real quick.
Apparently there's a super duper missile that we're developing too. It's like, what the hell?
let me jump down the rabbit hole real quick. Right. I won't stay there very long, but you'll get a kick out of this. I did. Here's a theory that goes along with the world being on lockdown, and it's four or six weeks ago or whatever, we had all these government releases up talking about UFOs.
I do recall seeing a bunch of stuff about UFOs, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, and I'm like, oh, that's odd.
Yeah, I'm not a UFO person. I love paranormal stuff, but UFOs are like my least favorite paranormal subject.
Hmm.
So I didn't really pay a lot of attention either. But, but I do like the ideas of the whole conspiracy was that that with those reports they're priming us that and then plus they're keeping us all indoors, basically ruining our immune systems by keeping us indoors, and then everybody's getting fat from being indoors, and it's just getting us ready for our alien overlords to come in.
Come and feast.
Basically, yeah, feast.
Something
to that effect.
I
guess if I was a bigger alien person, I'd tell a better story, but I don't really care about aliens much, and that's about as much interest as I can muster on that.
Yeah, I Once again, I am endlessly curious as to where you get your news, because I had not come across that. And this makes me think that my life is so much less exciting and interesting than yours as a result.
Oh, that did not come from a news source. That that was not a news source. I don't remember where I heard that on one of the many mind-rotting podcasts that I listened to. Someone mentioned that, and I was just like, well, but I always find it whenever – I don't know. Why else would a government decide to start releasing information on basically shit that they've denied existed for decades, you know? I was like, it just seemed odd that we're getting these UFO reports.
Oftentimes, all that top secret stuff has, you know, by law, there's a limit to how long you can keep it secret.
Yeah.
And so it may be one of those things where, like, okay, like, you know, and on April 1947, you know, such and such happened, and, you know, 2020 would be like the 70th year, and so now it's no longer secret, so we have to, you know, that's probably what happened, or I assumed.
Well, but I would imagine that a secret that would essentially rock the entire foundation of civilization, I think they'd make an exception on, you know, when they're going to start talking about, you know, they're not going to release information on it.
Yeah, you'd think, wouldn't you?
I mean, can you imagine? Can you? Well, okay, that was, yeah. Well put. Well said. Why not just destroy the entire idea of Christianity?
Well, it's funny because, you know, I was a philosophy and a religion major, right? And
I do.
You'd think that the idea of, you know, spirits and UFOs would be like something that's totally apathetical to religion, but really it isn't. Most religions have written into them the idea of there being some higher being, higher power that we don't understand. You know, if it comes out with, you know, rocket ships as opposed to divine X, Y, and Z.
I understand that, and I can even see how the two would jive. Mm-hmm. But I know that my mom would not.
Oh yeah.
And that there's a lot of people that would, like, maybe that would fly in another. Well, I don't know, man.
No, but like, there's actually a branch of the Vatican that's dedicated towards, making sense and reconciling the probable presence. You know, if you just look at the number of planets and all out there, it's just, you know, the chances favor there's somebody else out there. The real issue is, who gets to who first, you know?
I'm fascinated by Catholicism and the Vatican and all that stuff. I'll keep that to myself. I'll keep my thoughts on the Catholicism to myself.
I am interested, and we'll have to go offline sometime for that one.
Yeah. But I just love the idea of, like, secret Catholic politics and the secrets that they hold, and, you know, the whole Da Vinci Code type of stuff. I'm fascinated by that kind of stuff. So,
well, they say the Vatican has the world's oldest intelligence gathering organization. You literally have an organization with, you know, a network that goes around the globe several times, secret cells all over the world. So, I mean, those Catholics know how to keep a secret.
Yeah. So I'm not prepared for it, but this would be a great topic to discuss. I might have to do some research on that.
When you say that,
just the all of what we just said, right, about Catholicism, the Pope, and, you know, or, yeah, there's a lot of stuff, especially that I've heard lately, but it's all just kind of jumbled around in my head right now. I need to think about it and and get my thoughts organized, but there's a lot of good material there. Well, because of just because we've had a good conversation, and that combined with all the technical difficulties, we've probably blown past an hour now. I had a good subject that we might just have to put off until next week. But
probably after you get finished slicing and dicing and taking stuff out from the sound quality and me just yammering about nothing, you'll probably end up having enough time to put it in if you want.
Well, do you want to go ahead and technically things have been fine for a while now. Do you want to go ahead and discuss this?
Yeah.
And all right. Okay, well. And so the topic that I've done some research on, not really so much research as just organizing my thoughts and jotting them down in a coherent way, is the title of this of my notes here is Fear and Obedience from Cradle to Grave.
Okay, sounds interesting.
And my theory is just essentially that, and I know, and here's the thing. As I say it, I realize once you think about it, it's like, no shit, Sherlock. But I don't think people think about this all the time. I know that I don't think about it all the time. But when I do think about it, it kind of like, kind of makes me mad and makes me wonder what if. But, since basically from cradle to grave, I'm saying that since we're born until we die, we are conditioned to, one, be obedient to someone else. And that's all really driven by fear. I'm using my own lifespan to come up with these things that I have, these topics that I have. But I want to start with obedience. And, it starts in kindergarten. You know, you walk in lines. Everywhere you go, you're walking in a line. Mm-hmm. You pledge, you do the pledge, I don't know about anymore, but we did the Pledge of Allegiance.
Mm-hmm.
Where essentially you're pledging basically your life to the state, where the state is that is important. Is
individual important? For which it stands, one nation.
Yeah, and you're taught, especially when you're kindergarten and your lower grades, you're taught to follow instructions without question.
I probably say you're taught that much before you get to kindergarten. You're probably taught that follow direction without question from a superior who's not your parent, there's a lot of that, prepping. I mean, they say that the first, from kindergarten to third or fourth grade is the most important. I mean, you learn 80%, but a high percentage of what you need to know to function in society during those first four or five years in school, and I believe that.
Yeah, and of course that's where probably why you have people who are willing to join the military willingly and. When you join the military, you do risk put your life on the line, and it's just obedience is just the concept of obedience. I don't want to, the concept of obedience is just drilled into you. It's just part of who you are. But then there is a point, where people start thinking for themselves and we can't have that. You know? And so once you get past that initial introduction to being obedient, did you have something you wanted to add to that before I move on?
No, I was going to ask you, when did you first start your own independent thinking? When did you realize, yeah, you know what? A good portion of the stuff that I've been told is bunk.
Geez, I'm ashamed to say that it was as well after high school.
Why would that be something you need to be ashamed about?
I don't know. Well, you know, it seems like everything seems so obvious now. And so hindsight, I guess I shouldn't judge myself in hindsight.
Like, had you said like yesterday, I'd have hung up, you know, like, yeah, how do we know each other for this long and this didn't come out?
Yeah.
But like, you know, high school is the very first time when, you know, there is no expectation as to where you're going to be from between what, 7 a.m. and 3 p.m. Is it the very first time we're like, yeah, you know, I have got, you know, I can pretty much say wherever I want to be where I want to be during that time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes sense that after that time is over that you start, you know what, hey.
Yeah, it, you know, and it was one of the things that really tripped me out is, and it's not, and this wasn't even so much just ideological thought or anything like that. It was, I've read stories about hard science that I was taught in school, in science class, hard science type stuff. I wish I could think of them off the top of my head, but turned out to be wrong. And I was just like, I just couldn't wrap my head around. I learned about that after the fact, you mm-hmm. know, after I was out of high school and whatnot. And it was like, yeah, this thing that there was no question about, it's part of science. It's a fact. Turned out to be wrong, and I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I think the thing that you realize is that so many of the things that is given to us as, you know, just short of holy writ when we're kids, turned out to be the product of more like consensus. So, like, you know, enough people who are quote unquote experts look at, you know, a certain set of, you know, made a certain number of observations and agreed, okay, you know, we can all, 80% of us can agree on X, Y, and Z as being the case. That sound right to you guys? Yeah. Okay, it's fact. And
you know,
it wasn't until I worked for an organization that actually makes rules that other people, you know, live and die by, that you really see, okay, the guys who are making the rules are, you know, just like us, you and me, but, you know, they have interests and they're at the table making the rules and you're not. So that's a good portion of, you know, rules, law, science, consensus.
Another interesting realization that just comes with growing up is when you realize that the people that were the adults when you were a child, that you come to realize that they are really how clueless they were at that time. You know?
He's like,
you know, my mom, I can remember, you know, my mom being in her late, I don't know, late 20s, early 30s, and just, you know, I don't know, it's just bizarre to think of them in as real people and realize just how clueless real people are about things.
So the thing that, I mean, they probably came across as like, you know, ironclad, rock solid, but they probably had all these questions that you as a kid were never privy to, and it's probably a good thing that you weren't privy to.
But yeah, you know, but it's just that was I remember that realization was kind of a trip.
Do you recall what it was that triggered that realization?
No, nothing specific. It was just the realization that grown-ups, I'm a grown up now, and I look at the things that.
Shit.
Yeah, I look at the things that make me go, "Oh shit," and realize that my parents dealt with the very same, that my parents had that very same oh shit moment probably. And probably more so. I've never had a kid, so I don't know what it's like to have that kind of responsibility. But I, you know, if my brother, when they brought him home, it happens to a lot of babies. I can't think of what it is, but it's basically where your stomach closes and it won't let food in. And so, you know, they brought Keith, my brother, home, and he won't eat and he throws up everything. I can imagine that's a hell of an oh shit moment for two parents to deal with. And so it's just, you know, I would look at it as a kid, you know, it's like, well, they know what to do. They, you know, they took him to the emergency room and everything was A-okay. And that's obviously what you do, but I'll bet you there was the moment of panic and doubt and, oh my God, what do we do set in? And,
I bet you that ride to the hospital wasn't a joke.
Right.
It's like,
but anyway, I digress. I'm running off here, and I've got some. I got a lot of stuff that I want to get through here.
Mm-hmm.
So, my next section here is, I called it fear-based obedience. So we think for ourselves now, but one thing we can do is we can scare the shit out of you, and that will get you back in line. And so it's basically, as you grow up in life, and even today, there's always something to fear. There's always, it seems like we always in life, there's always a monster. There's always something that we have to scare us into doing whatever. And I've just jotted down some things here that I thought would be, this is my life. These are things that in my life that I'm going to read down through, and some of them, well, I'm sure many of them will resonate. But I can remember being a kid, and this is in school, and they really, the whole possibility of nuclear war with Russia was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, we had crazy Ronald Reagan in the White House with his finger on the button, and we were just taught that we were just at any time.
It'd be a flash of light and then a cloud.
Yeah, but you know what? But what they would do, and this is some of the things that we would every so often have drills where you get under your desk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is no purpose for that other than to scare kids.
I think there's probably more. I mean, I think there's more than just scaring the kids. Let's say there was a nuclear blast and you weren't incinerated, but the integrity of the building you were in was severely compromised. And so instead of things falling on kids' heads, they're falling on the desk.
There you go again, man. Glass half full.
No, I mean, I thought about that. Like, yeah, if you were at, like, you know, ground zero, yeah, you're vaporized. Hiding under the desk is just going to be, yeah, you just wait. I mean, you just wasted your time before you died. But if you were, you know, 10 miles out from the initial blast and you weren't initially, you know, vaporized and you weren't irradiated, but, you know, the building you were in, it's been knocked off his foundation or whatever. Then you go from being not vaporized to crap falling on your head, breaking your neck, stuff like that. Some of that stuff can be avoided. But I wouldn't necessarily say glass half full, but just, you know, basically, this is going to sound terrible. If we're at nuclear war, unless you are at ground zero, it probably feels like a hot earthquake, so to speak.
Well, fine, but when you're a little kid and they talk about being attacked with nuclear missiles, you
terrifying.
You think of the worst possible scenario, and that's a nuke landing in the playground, and turning everything into a shadow.
Well, the shadow would be, you know, would be, you know, a nuke falling in the playground. The shadow's been, no part of the shadow survives.
Right. So moving on, I had global cooling. We were headed to an ice age. Uh-huh. And that was drilled into our heads when I was in grade school. It was global cooling followed by the ozone layer was going away.
I remember the ozone layer going away. I remember as a kid
and
hearing that, and how we, you know, going out to play for a recess, you'd end up with like skin cancer and.
Right,
and you had to
chastise mom for using aerosol hairspray. It was because that was causing the ozone.
What do they call them? I can't remember. It was something that, you know, yeah, that was in aerosol cans, and it, you know, had already eaten out the top of the ozone layer at like the North Pole or something like that. And,
yeah,
but didn't they say the ozone layer repaired itself?
Yes.
Yeah, problem solved. Okay, kid.
And here's another one, and those were kind of big ones, I know. But here's one that not quite as big, not quite the scale of global destruction, but this was a big thing during the 80s, and it was the Satanic Panic.
What?
The Satanic Panic.
Never heard of that. Help me out.
And this idea that was, I think, just meant to terrify parents that Satanists were taking over, were moving into communities and
snatching the kids and using them for
abducting kids, sacrificing them to the devil. Daycare centers were being infiltrated by Satanists, and they would do horrible things with the kids, and every town had that one person that no one really knew and nobody trusted, and I lived through that. My mom was terrified of that, of me being kidnapped and sacrificed, and I can remember that one. There was that one guy that just everybody looked at sideways, you know. Nobody really knew him, but he lived over on that end of town, and so it was just bizarre. And then along with that, you know,
was that guy Florida Man?
Huh? he might have ended up a Florida man for sure. You know, but then and then along that time, it was, you know, Dungeons and Dragons came out, and that didn't help anything.
Yeah, I never got into Dungeons and Dragons. It takes
a lot of commitment.
I think at one time it was a card game, and then it evolved into a computer game.
No, it was a pen and paper game.
Mm-hmm.
And then evolved. They made a series of oh, you tricked me into showing how geeky I am.
No, just kidding.
I don't know nothing about new Dungeons and Dragons.
You heard it here first.
No. So anyway, after that, we came back. Global destruction is back, only this time it was 180 degrees opposite. It was global warming. And again, everything, and this kind of touched on what I brought up last week, and you said your girlfriend even confirmed it. But, you know, global warming, and everything that you do is going to contribute to global warming. And And then,
but you know, they've taken it. They made it a lot more personal now. So, not only is it the gas that you're going to put in your car, are you contributing to global warming? It's the fact that you had a hamburger as opposed to a salad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's yes, yeah.
And so
there's tons.
That's to me that's the big new leap. So they've gone, yeah, to your house to what's on the dinner table.
Don't think I didn't notice the whole big push for the Impossible Burger bullshit.
Yeah, I noticed that. I thought to myself, who would say, you know what? I'm just gonna get this fake meat, even though.
Nah, baby.
Yeah, It'd be one of those things that, at the very best, I would try if I lost a bet. It wouldn't be something like, I wonder what this fake meat tastes like. No, it would never cross my mind. Right. Ever.
Nope.
Like,
nope.
Yeah, like,
Yeah, so, the climate is always going to be, although, I don't know. I think I've seen somewhere that when you poll American people, the climate is like near the bottom of what they care about.
Yeah, I mean, would you rather have cheap gas and a well paying job?
Yeah, but it's just never going to. It's never going to go away. So it's always going to kind of be. It's going to kind of always be a specter that hangs around. But Then there was the September 11th, and then we had Middle East, and then that was an entire a new boogeyman. So you know the Cold War was over. It's like we're kind of running out of
bad guys.
Yeah, and so now we've got a whole new. All new countries of people that want to kill us. That's what we're told.
It's funny because when I was a kid, I also remember, the Cold War, and I remember that the Russians were the bad guys. These guys were the guys that were bad. That's what they were. That's what they did. They went around doing bad things because they're bad. And
yeah.
It's one of them. You realize, yeah. There was,
how simplistically they were depicted.
Yeah, yeah. And you realize that you get a little older, like, okay, there are more than a few hues of gray there. And the bad guys probably weren't half as bad as they were made out to be. And your side, the good guys, probably weren't half as good as they were made out to be.
Right. But with the new terrorism, we got the Patriot Act, we got the Transportation Security Administration, and so just to reinforce how obedient we were, they got us to walk through naked scanners, basically scanners that took pictures through your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
We submit to invasive pat downs.
Mm-hmm.
Take your shoes off at the airport, and just general harassment by people. It's just all signs of how obedient we are, and we let them do it.
Well,
at that time that was our new normal. Have you heard that before?
Oh, yeah, we've heard that before. Yeah. The new normal is pretty scary because the new normal is just that, new.
Exactly.
I don't know about you, but like being cooped up in your house for 2 months, that'll never be normal. Like we're still human.
Yeah. But some of the stuff that we may have to do, and I'm going to touch on that again here in a minute. But there's nothing to really be said about these, but I'll touch on them. Is all these global pandemics, or in 2002, we had SARS.
Mm-hmm.
In 2009 or 2005, we had the chicken flu or the bird flu. You got to explain to your friends or whoever who asks about that. I know that it's not the chicken flu. I don't even remember why I decided to call it the chicken flu.
Funny. That's why I think we were probably talking about it over chicken wings.
Yes, I'm almost positive that that's why I started calling it chicken flu. Okay.
Right.
The bird flu. Yeah. And then in 2009, we had the N1H1, which was the swine flu.
That's what that was?
Yeah, that's what I found. 2014 was Ebola, and I know Ebola's been around forever, but Ebola actually being a threat to America.
Yeah, but those are all things of the all signs of the world getting smaller. So, whereas 75 years ago what are we dealing with now? COVID-19 could get to 75 years ago. The idea of somebody getting COVID-19, hopping on an airplane and being in New York City. That just didn't happen, really, And right. Because the world's so much smaller, that's how it's happening. The person who's in Wuhan, China today, getting Ebola, now gets on an airplane to go to a business meeting in New York and infects an entire airport of people.
Regardless of where it came from or how it got here, it's just something else to keep us scared. 2015, we had the Zika virus. All the moms were scared that their kids were going to be born with like pointy heads.
But that was only in Florida, right? I mean, you didn't have Zika further north.
Well, Zika was a big problem Zika was never a big problem in America, but you always had the one or two possible cases that were, and it may have been Florida, but I mean it was a bigger problem, I think, in like the southern
Brazil
hemisphere. Yeah, that's something like that is what I'm thinking. And then we've got, and then bring it to today, we got the COVID-19, which basically the entire world shut down, and the lockdown, I mean draconian lockdown orders.
Now, quick question: Have you been following what's been happening in Sweden?
Well, only at a high level, yes.
So supposedly, we chose to lock everything down. They chose to not lock everything down.
Right.
And it's not exactly clear that they did the obviously wrong thing. It's not exactly clear that we did the obviously right thing. And so,
yeah, but I think the results, no matter, they didn't, their neighbors did, and they all have comparatively the same results.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting. And and when they did it, they were scolded for it, but they didn't do the lockdown. They did say do reasonable distancing and take precautions and whatnot, but they didn't do the lock. You're right, they didn't do the lockdown like everyone else did.
But my understanding was that in general, the Swedes give each other more space. Then, but they're not they're not crowded into, mass transportation the way we are. Aspects of the American experience that that's just foreign to them. Why would you be smushed up a bunch of strangers, just to get to work? We ride a bike. What's that all about?
Well. And that touches on what my bigger issue with all of this was that they tried to apply one set of rules to everyone to fix a problem, and you just can't, like, you can't do that. You can apply, you know, you can't apply the same rules that you might use to control it in New York, just don't make sense in Montana. In New York, people are packed in these little canisters and shoot around in subways, and in Montana, people are, you know,
on an ATV.
Yeah, or you know, they're miles apart. They're not packed on top of each other, and it's really, this should have been handled. All of this kind of stuff should have been handled on a locale basis as much as it could be.
Well, I know the state of New York, Jersey, Connecticut, and several others, they started like regional pacts with one another. I don't think it could have been something that was totally dealt with on a local level, but probably a state/regional level with support coming from the feds where necessary. But, yeah, I'm grateful that I don't have to get up and go to work. I'm grateful for that. How about that?
Amen.
Well, you don't even know what it's like to get up and have to go to work and look at people in the face anymore.
That is true.
And for that, I am jealous.
So anyway, I just have a, I'm losing my steam on this, but I you know, just jobs and businesses lost. I thought, there, I had these sound clips somewhere that it's Dr. Fauci versus politician Fauci. And, Dr. Fauci was like, no, you don't need to wear face masks. That's for hospital people and whatnot. You don't, you know, you don't need to do the face mask thing. And then a month later, politician Fauci done the complete reversal and was like, yeah, gotta wear the face mask.
But I think at that level, so much of what is being done is managing expectations, because people want to feel like they're doing something. And so even if you have them doing something that's totally ineffective, it's better than them doing nothing that's totally ineffective and them thinking that they're being effective. Does that make sense?
Sadly, it does.
Like, I'm sorry, Joe, but that makes sense in a way that makes me sad.
You know what? You know what's funny? You know what's kind of funny or telling is a crowd full of people wearing face masks looks a lot like a pack of dogs wearing muzzles.
And presumably, if you're a social distancing, you should be in a crowd of people wearing face masks. Mm.
But I like the muzzle imagery. Just shut up, people. You're muzzled. Don't bother us.
Hey, speaking of muzzling people, did you see the protest? I forgot where it was. Where they're like, "Yo, you shouldn't be muzzling people because we're, you know, you muzzle dogs, not people." And they have like a black person that's a slave with a muzzle on.
Jesus, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, that was on, I think that came across the wire on friggin' Twitter. I'm like, oh, God, this is, I didn't know what to make of it, but you just brought it up. And so I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll send that your way.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Yeah, and then social distancing. What's, you know, I just wonder what's magical about 6 feet, you know, and what if we made it? What if we made it 7 feet or 8 feet? Would that save more lives? I don't know.
No, that falls in that category of, being, you know, doing something.
Okay, I got you. And then here again, this kind of ties back to all the public, just being publicly obedient, like I was talking about with the TSA. Mm-hmm. And here's so. So here's crazy shit people are doing to comply. I seen this on the news, on my morning news one time. It was an old grandpa who was in a nursing home. His granddaughter had graduated, and of course you couldn't see her. She couldn't go visit him, and so these people, they called it an invention. It was basically just a plexiglass box. But they put him in this plexiglass box, and as he walked out across the front lawn of the nursing home, four people stood on each of the corners and walked along with him to carry the box with him. And then they went and had the touching moment where they touched hands through the glass, like if he was like in prison or something.
Like a pre-coffin.
So I seen that, and then this morning or yesterday, I seen some woman wanted to hug her mom in a nursing home for something. Maybe it was for Mother's Day. but this woman was wearing basically a giant costume like on that TV show Masked Singer.
Mm-hmm.
She's just wearing this completely giant costume, and of course they made sure to say that she had wiped down and was disinfected inside the costume, but it shows she walked across the front lawn in this ridiculous costume and gave her mom a hug. I've seen grown men in basically giant baby walkers. They're like these giant round circles.
I saw that at a restaurant for social distancing. They had an entire restaurant. Yeah, I saw that too, and I like that looked just ridiculous.
Yeah,
but you know, when you call it as baby walk, I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what that was.
Right,
and it's like, you know, that just total fail. Like,
yeah, and probably the best one was. These pictures of people, it was this German people, it was in Germany. These people were sitting outside of a cafe or something. They had these hats on that had these ridiculous swimming pool noodles attached to the top of their hats, going out like Inspector Gadget propeller things that made a radius around them.
Of 6 feet?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so there's these people all sitting outside drinking their coffee with their friends with these ridiculous hats on and it's just look at the shit that we're doing to be obedient to our rulers, I say again. I think in London they've got even robot dogs and drones that give the whole warning citizen you must comply messages.
I've heard,
and I don't mean, and those robot dogs, they're not cute dogs. They look like those things from Boston, or what is that technology company?
Boston Scientific
that builds those robot dogs that they don't look cute. They look like kids would see them and go home and have nightmares about them. And then you got some local politicians they're just kind of on power trips, you know. They've just got ridiculous reopening rules that don't make sense. And then, of course, this is just the new normal, or in my comments here, or is it the New World Order's coup d'etat?
I'm an optimist. I'm going to say new normal, because coup d'état is quite specific. That's the officer going and inspecting the person who's just been shot.
Joe, I just wanted a reason to say coup d'état.
Fair enough. There you go. Hey, I'm looking at the German noodle hats.
Oh, you found them?
Oh yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah, so, and then there's nothing to really talk about. I'll just mention it, though. That was my fear-based obedience, but a large majority of our entertainment is also fear-based, you know, from movies and television shows. Everything is just based off of some sort of fear.
Mm.
So,
When you say, what do you mean by that? Give an example.
I have down here, you know, and I'm sticking with the pandemic theme, but you know, we've got movies like I Am Legend, The Andromeda Strain, Outbreak, 12 Monkeys, Cabin Fever, Resident Evil, 28 Days Later, 28 Weeks Later.
So pretty much any zombie movie could be applied here.
Right, right.
I remember thinking, like, what if this, like, you know, okay, so, you know, what if this, like, you know, isn't this how, like, zombie movies began? Usually there's some type of virus that breaks out, it goes around the world, and then somebody comes out with a cure, and then the vaccine is what makes people, you know, sick.
Well, I think the greatest zombie movies never really
go into
give
it.
You a good give an origin, a real origin. Mm-hmm. But like I don't think George Romero's Night of the Living Dead gave. I think they insinuated that it might have came from space. I think it starts with like a meteor landing, but I don't think they ever really discussed in detail what it was. I could be wrong about that. I was a kid when I seen that movie, so anyway, but yeah, anyway, I'll wrap this up. That was just my little, it's just, I guess my big point is that we are constantly kept in check with fear of some kind. There's always something to be scared of, and when one thing is over, there's always something to take its place, and there's you just never get a break. You never get to take a step back and take a breath and enjoy things, because there's always something else to scare you. Unless you just check out, just and don't pay attention. If you're able to do that,
yeah, let's do that one. But I mean, I guess. It's one of those things that you're right. The average person doesn't have enough time to just sit back and realize. But that might speak to speak a lot to your position in life, that you've had the ability to take a moment of pause and look at this stuff for what it is. Because I would have I'm sorry, I'm having incomplete thoughts that I'm not completely expressing, but this is America, and you've heard the phrase, in the Serengeti, the lion gets up every morning, and he knows that if he doesn't get up and go run and go find a gazelle, he's going to starve. And
yeah.
A gazelle wakes up every morning and realizes that if he doesn't get up and go run, he's going to end up some lion's dinner. The thing is, like, they both end up running, and I guess that was supposed to be like some type of something inspirational, but it kind of seemed quite terrible to me that there's no peace of mind. You should constantly be in a you know, constant state of fear that either you're going to be eaten or starve. Who wants to go through life living that way? But as you put your finger on, a good portion of us do that. You know, there's something that's going to some outside power to be feared and dreaded and respected. That's probably something that we'll probably end up having to thread throughout the rest of our shows, because you can find those threads and put your finger on, like, hey, you know, this right here, they sold us this. They sold us, you know, 300,000 people dead, and the sky was going to fall, but when push came to shove, and as you say, there is never really a consequence for selling this fear to us. And in fact, you know, there's so much of, like you said, what makes us go is based on fear, and so many people have a vested interest in there being a fearful, terrified populace. That's probably something that should be explored more. More as a theme.
Yeah, I like it. Sounds good.
Okay.
Well, Joe, I think we've talked enough. This is going to be an interesting show for sure. At this point, I don't know what to expect. But
well, hey, I mean, once again, this is, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. It was burned down in a day, though.
Yeah. So, well, thank you for your time this evening. And tomorrow is Friday, wrapping up the week. You got any plans for this weekend?
Hopefully barbecue and eating crab.
Oh, I like that. That sounds good.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'm going to go home and see Mom and the rest of the family. And since my brother will be running the grill, I'll be eating well-done steaks and super well-done burgers.
Wait. Well-done steaks? People do that?
Oh, sadly, I'm the black sheep of the family in that, there's, as far as my family's concerned, there's only one way to do a steak, and that's well done or more.
Terrible.
Yeah. And,
yeah, I could see how people would not like steak if that was the only way you ever had steak or done.
Yeah. So I always give Keith shit about it when he runs the grill. But I'm always like, I was like, whatever. However long you're normally going to cook those, take mine off about halfway through.
Say, one thing I do, and I swear by it, is I have my steak with butter.
That's another thing that I do that as well.
Really?
Family don't, yeah. Now tell me, I'm interested, where are you getting crabs at this weekend?
We're not having actual crabs, we're having crab legs, because Marylanders, they actually eat the entire crab, and right. I've seen the entire crab, no part of that looks appetizing to me. So, like,
I'm about the legs as well. Yeah. I went to a place, a restaurant in South Carolina once, right on the shore. And I was curious, but I ordered the soft shell crab, and nah.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, the crab just makes you work for it too hard. It's like, damn, I want to eat today. Yeah.
How I got around that is I bring a pair of scissors with me.
Oh, well. And I'm the optimist. If I'm the optimist, you're the Boy Scout.
Just do it. Take it. Get you a small sturdy, because some of them crabs are they're tough, but get you some sturdy scissors and you can just cut the meat right out. It
like butter, huh?
It's the only way to eat crab now.
Well, I shall let you know how that shapes up, and well done steak, huh?
I can't wait.
You should try one of my burgers.
But, all right.
Yeah, well, that's a different topic.
Yes. And on that note, I'm signing off. Joe, take care, and I will talk to you next time.
Next time, Mr. Newman. Next time.